Hey, what's up? Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast. Today, it's a little bit different. We did a collaborative podcast with my guy, Zachary Coleman. Zachary is the founder and CEO of Creatitive. It is a branding and marketing firm that specializes in helping athletes brand themselves, you know, from the social, digital, and web branding perspective. We did a collab podcast episode because we are both busy and he has a podcast. I have a podcast. So we try to mix it up. We just figured we shouldn't, why don't we just have a conversation and kind of use it on both our platforms. So if you guys want to check it out, make sure you guys tune in. It was also on his platform. Make sure you check out his website. That will be in the show notes and also on our platform. As you guys know, every Tuesday, a Frugal Athlete podcast will have new shows with you. So hopefully you guys tune in. This was a great episode. Learned all about what it takes to build an athlete brand, some of the nuances between what works, what doesn't, and kind of like some of the next things in the space. So I hope you guys tune in. Hope you guys enjoy. And please, if you can, leave a review, rate, even if you don't like it, it all helps. It helps the ratings. It helps us get discovered. And it helps me continue to find guests. So with that being said, without further ado, tune into the podcast episode.
All right. I think we're recording. All right. Welcome to another episode of Brand Power Analysis. I'd like to welcome...
Yeah, Amobi Okugo, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to finally connect, and I'm looking forward to, you know, our conversation.
Yeah, and today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to be having a joint podcast between the both of us. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, so a Frugal Athlete Podcast Network is essentially a podcast where we talk about, you know, the financial playbooks of athletes, but not only athletes, the stakeholders that help athletes make, manage, and multiply their money, you know, off the court and off the field. So I'm excited to do this joint podcast with you, someone that has a lot of experience, you know, helping athletes, you know, create their brand profiles and expand on what they do off the field.
Beautiful, beautiful. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself just to get started and kind of what you're doing now and a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so Amobi Okugo, first generation Nigerian American, been playing soccer for the past 11 years. I went to UCLA, went pro after my freshman year, and I've been playing pro since, bounced around Philadelphia, Orlando, Kansas City, Portland, and then now currently in Austin. But outside of that, I run a Frugal Athlete, and essentially it's an online financial media platform that promotes prudent financial practices and smart career decisions amongst professional athletes and student athletes. So our goal is to help athletes make, manage, and multiply money through financial education and athlete empowerment. And hopefully by doing so, because athletes are natural trendsetters, we'll get others to, you know, follow suit when it comes to, you know, following prudent financial practices. So that kind of takes up most of my time when I'm not on the field. But it's been giving me the luxury to connect with so many different people and learn a lot as I'm trying to build this thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we'll get into that a little bit more throughout the episode because it's one of the things that I look at with sports is just so connected. It's just so connected. And that's why I love it. It's the best thing about being in this industry is, and also what makes it so difficult because I have so many verticals. I'm like, who do I talk to? This voice and that voice.
Exactly.
But first off, let's talk about a little bit about your position. What position do you play?
So I play center mid or center back. So I started out as a center mid. It's basically like the quarterback or the point guard. You try to transition defense to offense, offense to defense, and then sometimes I play center back. So center backs, you get blamed for all the goals, but you're trying to stop them.
Or sweeper?
Usually stopper.
Yeah, that's funny because that was my position too.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never went pro, but you know, I played all the way through high school and I played through college. And as I got older here, I still play it. I was before the everything happened last year, but I played on some rec teams and
okay.
But stopper was always my thing. I hated sweeper because you probably have the same thing I do. Is you just there's this thing with it. And even though it's a team sport, whenever that goal goes through, you always blame yourself. You're always like, oh, yeah, man, I could have stopped that, man.
It's the last line of defense. You always get blamed, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's never, oh, they didn't score any goals. Your offense didn't score any goals, but no. And Yeah. So how do you handle that kind of pressure? Like, what do you kind of do to kind of help keep yourself, you know, from, you know, feeling that anxiety?
It's crazy. Cause as a defender, you can play 90 minutes, you know, 89 minutes, like perfect game. And then like that 1 minute, they score a goal and, you know, you get blamed. So for me, from the mindset, my mindset is just like always next play, always, you know, try to improve on what you can do better. Have a short memory and just give it your all. Mm-hmm. You know, as a defender, you're the last line of defense. So, you know, as proactive as you can be, whether it's communicating to your teammates, whether it's always staying alert to give you the best chance to succeed, you know, in the game. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to stop every goal, but you're going to try to make it as difficult as possible for the opposing team.
Yeah, we always played the diamond formation. So we always had the, you know, I always had the left and the right, and then we had the sweeper in the back. So I didn't feel as bad when, you know, it would go through because it was the sweeper. I was like, yeah. Hey, man, you're the last line of defense, not me. But I tended to have to play back and forth a lot between that because I'm huge into the training side. And so it was funny as I got older, and you're probably like it, you know, now, man, it's, when you're out there, it's 90 minutes seems so long. And soccer is definitely the most intense, I would say, out of any sport when it comes to how athletic you have to be. Because, you know, I played indoor too, and it's a little bit different because it's more the fast-paced back and forth, no timeouts or stoppage time. But you're going the whole time. You know, you have to have those breaks. You know, you want those breaks every 5 minutes to get your energy back, you know, especially if your offense isn't doing a good job and you're, you know, don't have that.
And you're defending the whole time. Exactly.
Yeah. So I know you're kind of, I know you're kind of still playing the game. And so I'd kind of ask you how your transitions have been, but let's change it around a little bit and talk a little bit about your transitions from, not your transitions from the game, but how you're able to do both, deal with your podcast and your journey is on with your business alongside you playing the sport.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, it's, you know, Google Calendar has been my best friend, you know, Google Calendar, Calendly, and then time blocking. So not trying to overwhelm myself. I know we talked offline how you said, you know, Mondays are strictly for podcasts. You're not trying to do it on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. You know, Monday is set aside for podcasts. And I followed a similar approach. So for example, Mondays, I write newsletters. So I'm not doing it on Friday. I'm not doing it on these other days. So I'm kind of like prioritizing days and giving like certain days, certain tasks. And it's allowed me to kind of free up my time with like the grueling schedule of travel and practices and games and stuff like that. So that's helped me tremendously, you know, trying to be efficient. So like, if I need like an hour to do this, like I focus for an hour and then I take my breaks and then I focus another hour on the next task. And, you know, having like I'm big on post-it notes. So like crossing it out, being able to cross something out is just like, that's a good feeling as well. So, you know, that's what's helped me be efficient, especially with my time. And any tricks that anyone has to recommend, I'm always looking for new ways to, you know, increase my production level.
It's crazy. It's crazy once, you know, like I was telling you earlier, how I'm in kind of that next growth phase in our business. And it's a always growing, always learning, always maintaining situation. Like I was the same way. I have that personality. Google Calendar is my life too. And I have my new W-2 employee. I've been kind of really focusing him on, you know, I'm really like, hey, use the Google Calendar. I want you to block up your time just so I could see it. And you know, my time availability, you know, and still kind of, but it's one of those situations where you realize that as you get older that, and you start learning new things that not everyone knows that stuff, but you then learn the next thing. What's the next thing that can help me push to that next level? And it just never stops. But that's why I love the business side, because if you enjoy the journey of it, you know, that is the business, is the enjoying the journey of watching it go from this little baby up to this big thing that you can, you know, push forward with. What kind of challenges have you had to during this while you're playing? What kind of challenges have you had to overcome to to kind of keep yourself engaged on both the playing and the business side?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think first and foremost, you know, as a soccer player, as a professional, you got to keep the main thing. So obviously with the business, it's kind of had to take a back seat in the sense of like, I can't always make that conference, or I can't always do that speaking engagement, or I can't always make that meeting. I might have to reschedule it. So there's been times when, you know, I've had unique speaking engagement opportunities and I've had to pass them on to somebody else because I know I wouldn't be able to go there. So as a professional, especially because it's my main source of income, I have to make sure to keep that in the main thing. So my performance has to be paramount. My performance has to make sure that, you know, the guy coming trying to take my spot doesn't have that opportunity. From a business standpoint, it's been unique. And, you know, you talked about evolving. I remember when I first started, I was going back and forth 4 or 5 emails just to schedule a meeting. So now it's like just having that efficient, like, all right, perfect. Here's your Calendly link. I know people at a higher level than me, I don't even talk to them. Like initial intro, CC my assistant. So I'm talking to their assistant. So like, that's like, it's always progression. I'm not there yet, but hopefully, you know, down the road, then I can get to that. So it's all about, like you said, an evolving process. But balancing soccer and business is, you know, like I said before, just being efficient. So when we have off days, that's kind of when I'm double down on, you know, content or meetings and stuff like that. Bulk content. So instead of writing a blog every week, spend a day and try to write 3 to 4 blogs and then space them out over the course of the next month. So that's been a game changer for me too, doing content in bulk. So those are like different tricks of the trade that I've been able to learn as I've continued to grow in this space.
It's funny you say that. I kind of did the same thing with my YouTube videos. My content writers will write the scripts out from stuff that we've discussed at the beginning of the month. And then when it comes down to Tuesdays, I do the same thing. I bulk them all together and say, I'm just going to do 4. I don't do more than 4 because then I seem like a zombie on the camera.
Yeah.
But, and that is a good thing for people to realize. You have to kind of manage your time, especially for athletes. And when you work with them and money's probably very similar. So why don't you talk a little bit about why do you feel like you as an athlete with what you're doing? And actually, why don't you go into talking just a little bit about the business? Why don't you talk a little bit more about what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, so the business started because I saw the 30 for 30 Broke documentary on ESPN. So if no one's seen it yet, or if you haven't seen it yet, I highly suggest. It was a great documentary kind of highlighting why athletes tend to go broke. And for me, it was kind of like a motivation because I wanted to look at athletes in a different light. You know, playing soccer in the States, we don't make as much money as the NBA, you know, NFL baseball guys, but we do make enough capital to help set us up for the next phase of whatever we may do long after our career is over. So after I saw that documentary, I was like, all right, how can I find athletes that I can use as roadmaps? And you know, what was available was like the LeBron James, the Tom Brady's, Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, to Serena Williams. And, you know, those are anomalies. Not every athlete's going to have the luxury to, you know, be like that. So as I did more research, I kept finding athletes that went bankrupt or athletes similar to the broke model. So that's kind of how Frugal Athlete started. I just wanted to create like an ecosystem where you can come on the site, find content around financial literacy, but using athletes to tell those stories. So if you want to learn about real estate, you have a whole database of content around athletes that got into real estate in different manners. Or if you want to learn about stock trading, if you want to learn about budgeting, all these different things. So when it comes to us as a business, we have courses. We do speaking engagements and workshops. We do small time financial coaching and consulting, which leads into like revenue generation, budget templating, understanding different things around the behavior. We're not advisors, so we're not going to tell you to invest in GameStop or Tesla or anything like that. We're just going to get you the behavior around your finances straight. And then we do also do sponsored content based on our YouTube and podcast and written content. And then we have merch as well. So I'm rocking a Frugal Athlete sweatshirt, but that's very minimal in comparison to the other 4 categories.
No, it's kind of like you said about the playing career and how that's your main focus right now, and your business is kind of still your secondary. which is of course fine because you are still playing. But even within the business, yes, they always say that the smart ones say you have to diversify, but I still say, hey, you have to diversify, but you don't want to have too many hands in the bucket. You know, exactly. Like, you need to still focus on one. Like for instance, we have this huge, growth idea for about 5 to 10 years from now, which would be perfect. And I can't really say too much about it now, but it'd be perfect for right now with what's going on with society and what's going on with the growth of technology and stuff. And I started developing it, you know, about a year ago. And then I took a step back a little bit and I said, whoa, like, I don't have time to run 2 full-time businesses at the same time. Like I will focus on that as a stage 3 or 4 down the road. So it was one of those things where, and you know, it all kind of works together too. Like you said, like it's great to have merch. It's great to be able to get value in different ways, but to be able to really hone in on that one specific thing that you really care about and are passionate about is always, it's always a plus. So you don't get burnt out.
Preach that. Yeah. So you don't get burnt out. I think that's like, if there's one takeaway, because we get overwhelmed, especially in our lines of work when it comes to, you know, building brands and stuff like that. By the time you master one platform, they're telling you you need to get on another one. By the time you get to that one, there's another one. Now you got to be on all of them. So it can get overwhelming. So like you said, you know, try to focus on one stream or one river. And then eventually as the river gets bigger, then streams will start to form and you can build out those new lanes.
Exactly. It's very similar. And I won't get too much into the privacy situation going on with like Facebook right now, but it's very similar to Facebook and how they grew. And then they eventually, you know, said, hey, let's buy Instagram. And then now they have Instagram and it's a whole different platform. If they were to try to develop both of those at the same time, they probably wouldn't have had enough capital to do so and could have went bankrupt. I'm not saying they would have, but yeah, it's a good example. And I agree with you. It's very, it is. It definitely takes a lot of hard work and a lot of there's sacrifice there, but it's more so a lot of tedious knowing that things are going to get better as you keep going.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what would you say make athletes, you as an athlete, what would you say make athletes such great business owners?
I think I feel like sports is like the game of life. There's a lot of skill sets that we acquire playing sports. There's a lot of things like based on our experiences that we use for business and life and relationships that we just don't, I don't know if we just don't know how to translate it, but it's all the qualities are there. So whether it's, you know, the basic ones that everyone talks about, you know, working within a team setting, you know, communication, handling adversity, dealing with criticism, whether it's constructive or negative, and using that to turn it into results, goal setting, understanding the discipline it takes and the sacrifices that it takes to, you know, get something done, time management, priority management, energy management, you know, looking at something from a negative, like understanding your weakness and turning it into like a strength. These are all things that we learn from sports, working with, you know, I said team setting, but especially in soccer, I'm working with players that only speak Spanish or only speak French. So being able to understand different values and ultimately come to a common goal, that's invaluable experience that not a lot of people are fortunate enough to have, embracing different cultures. These things are, you know, things that you acquire from sports. You know, it doesn't matter if you play at the professional level, college level, youth level, they all translate. Obviously the professional level, you're able to maximize it, but then it's harder to translate it into, you know, the corporate space. So you just got to figure out how to word it the right way. So instead of, you know, being able to say, yeah, I'm good with working in a team setting, it's like, no, yeah, you are, but how do you craft it in a different way to kind of exude some of the qualities that you have?
And I think you said that beautifully, because I kind of, one of the reasons I got into this was because I did see from a business perspective, you'll probably have the same aspect I have, that you're creating something that you're passionate about and you love, and you love seeing it grow. And that feeling that you get from getting over a boundary or getting over a struggle is pretty damn close to that same feeling you get when you stop a goal or you win a game with the teamwork. It's that same kind of drive that leads you to wanting to be the best and wanting to bring value to your fans or the people that, you know, are helping, you're helping when, alongside your business. And that's one of the reasons I got in this, is to help translate that to athletes. And so with what you're saying, with the stuff that they learn, I think it's very common for athletes, especially when they get to a certain size, that they still try to do everything themselves when it comes to growing their business. And as you are aware, like, hey, you need someone to help you with your finances. You need someone to help you with, and I come in and I say, hey, you need someone to help you with your marketing. Like you could hire a whole team at this much, or you can hire our agency. Time shouldn't have to equal money for you. You should have money equal time for you. So really focus on hiring a team to do that stuff that you're not an expert in, and you focus on what you're good at.
Exactly.
So what are, with that said, let's say the opposite. So how do you feel the struggles for athletes? Like, what are some struggles you see athletes?
So from a struggle standpoint, identity, you know, so how can you define yourself outside? If you weren't able to say, I'm a professional soccer player, or if I'm a professional basketball player, how do you define yourself? I think that's something that a lot of athletes struggle with, just because, you know, you spend your whole life from 5 years old, ultimately, you know, trying to become the professional, and then you make it there. And then what happens after? You got your whole life to live, but because you were so focused on making it as a professional, you didn't even think of it, you know, long-term. Sports is the only thing guaranteed to end in divorce. You know, you're going to have to figure out your next game. So from an athlete standpoint, figuring out your identity, that's one. And then, because I don't want to say that we're spoiled, but we're so used to having the schedule of, all right, we know when our practice is. Bless you. You tried to hold it in the first time.
I did.
Yeah. So we know our schedule. We know our practice. We know our games. We know, you know, our workout regimen. We know what we're supposed to eat. When that's all done, all right, how do we become proactive in that sense? And then simply, I don't want to say it's like a confidence thing or like an insecurity thing, but how do we define ourselves from the lessons and experiences and skill sets that we've acquired from sports and translate it into the corporate space, whether it's entrepreneurship, business, education, whatever aspect of your next phase is. Because while we were spending our, you know, 20s, you know, building our careers, you know, our peers were in the, you know, corporate space or in the business space or whatever space, you know, learning the lessons that you need to learn. So we're coming back into that space, whether it's entry level or, you know, not the same elite level that we're used to, that can kind of have like a negative effect on us as human beings.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had to deal with that myself, but I have heard it is that struggle. And I mean, when you're in business, I think the hardest part, and we talked about it earlier with the Google Calendar, I mean, that's just one aspect of it. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm managing, you know, 9-10 employees. And so it's like, now I'm juggling most of my day, just making sure that I'm QAing stuff correctly, making sure things are going through correctly. And I haven't even eaten lunch yet. You know, like, I'm like, I have one of those things where I'm just like, oh man, and that's why I have to meal prep early in the morning, or on a Sunday, I'll meal prep my lunches for the whole week. And getting into last year is a whole nother controversy. I have almost a 2-year-old now. So that puts a whole damper into the whole thing, but it's trying to, try to get yourself in a good routine, at least somewhat of a routine that you can kind of keep with yourself. And, you know, I have a business developer that somewhat helps me with that. So that just goes to show you that, you know, hiring other people to help you with certain struggles is there's nothing wrong with that as you're continuing to grow. I mean, I'd love to hire a personal trainer again, just because I don't have enough motivation when I go to the gym still to, you know, you do it so long that you tend to the point where, like, I just need someone to be there with me to tell me to push for that extra one.
No, I feel you. I feel you on that. It's just like, and that's something I commend business people for, because you're so focused on, you have to always be on call, that you sometimes, you know, forget that you have to focus on yourself too. So, you know, like you said, you skipped lunch or you haven't had lunch yet, but like, yeah, if you have to like work out, you have an hour, but what if someone like an emergency call like comes, like how do you guys allocate that? So, and it's like an hour out the day as you reach the next level of your business. So like, that's an hour that can be focused on your business. So it's like, it's a big battle that people don't realize or see. So luckily for me, you know, I have the soccer aspect. So I'm like indirectly staying fit and staying, you know, in that lane. But I love what you said about, you know, hiring people to help you. I think this year, this last year with everything that's went on, the biggest things that I did was, you know, get a lawyer, you know, like a full-time lawyer on retainer, and then having like a director of operations just help streamline some of the processes that we have with the interns that we use. So because before I was trying to do everything on my own, from, you know, booking, you know, guests for podcasts to making content to, you know, pitching companies, it's too much, as you know. So you know, hiring people to help you, and it's less work for you, and the more you can outsource, the more you can, you know, build out for the bigger projects that need your full attention, if that makes sense.
I may ask for your, after the call, I may ask for you to give me a referral of that coordinator you have, because that's something that I've been looking at.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, he's legit. I call him the streamliner, because everything, I just give him all my like ideas, and then he's like, just step. Yeah, so yeah, most definitely.
But no, I totally agree with you. So back to kind of what you were talking about with the athletes building their identity, because you said that identity is a big struggle. What do you think athletes can learn in regards to building their brands from other athletes? Like, what kind of things can they take away from athletes like yourself in helping to build their personal brands?
Yeah, so I would just say, you know, be curious. I think, you know, a lot of athletes have passions outside of the sport they play. You know, you can't play sports 24/7. So what are you doing for those off hours? You know, whether it's, you know, you're playing video games, you're watching movies, you're listening to music, are you making music, are you into fashion? What are you into? And then from there, find people that, you know, may be more, I don't want to say experienced, but are in that space on a full-time basis, just like you're in your space on a full-time basis. Connect with those people, because as an athlete, so many doors are open and available to you if you take advantage of it. So how can you use your off time, your free time, to be curious, to be, you know, more interested than interesting, and, you know, use your platform to learn more about those spaces. And then from there, be open and be authentic in how you should go about sharing it. So, you know, when you're trying to build a fan base or you're trying to build a, you know, community, they want to see you outside of, you know, the political answers you give out after every game saying, you know, we thought it was a hard fought game, you know, we won, we're looking for it. Not like they can get that from anybody. They want to know like what you're eating, like what are the desserts that you have when, you know, you have an off day, what's your favorite movies, you know, they want to know all that. And the more you share, obviously within reason, if you're a private person, you don't want to share everything, but within reason, they will gravitate towards you long after your career is over.
Yeah. And I personally really focus on that. I mean, I'm doing a webinar right now with one of the retired NFL organizations, and we're really trying to help professional NFL players and retired NFL players kind of understand the whole voice aspect and how it plays a huge role in branding, because when it comes to, and it's hard, but it's not at the same time, as you know, because it is, you want to be authentic, and it is hard for certain people to post. It is. I mean, even me, I'm 35, you know? And so, you know, I was at the very beginning stages of social media. So I have a very hard time on posting myself. And so it really comes down to trying to figure out your fan base, like really who wants to listen to you, why they want to listen to you, what value are you giving them? And let's really kind of develop a voice for you that kind of helps bring value to them without it just being political. You know, for instance, it may be helping someone with, you know, kids you know, playing soccer or stopper, you know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, helping them understand, you know, some of the ins and outs of that position. Cause a lot like a corporate, you know, job, you know, you may not love every sport. You may not love every position. You know, I was horrible at forward. That just wasn't my thing. I loved playing defense. That's just what I loved to do, you know? And so I stuck with it. To the point where my dad, who used to be an NFL kicker, was like, you're only playing soccer because we want you to be a football kicker like I did when I went in. And I never went that route. I just continued to play soccer, and I still play rec because, you know, I enjoy it, and it's fun now. You know, I love going out there, and I don't have as much competitiveness as you because I don't have to actually win games. But with that comes I don't also have to deal with the depression behind it. But so let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit more about how you personally how are you helping athletes, going back to your business? How are you helping athletes move forward as they make their transition and as they continue to play?
Yeah. So from a standpoint of like that transition, you know, with the frugal athlete, will help them in terms of making the relationships that they need. So for example, if someone is into VC, I have a unique amount of relationships where I can get them in touch with, you know, VC managers, you know, portfolio funds, first and foremost, to get educated. I think that's the most important thing, because we see the athletes like Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, they're investing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in different, you know, companies, you know, both from the angel round to the series late stage round. And not every athlete can do that. But if they're interested, there's so many different ways to get involved. And that's where, you know, a service like ours comes into play. So we can connect them with different organizations if they want to learn more, if they want to see some deal flow, get acclimated to what it's like. That's where we come in, from the standpoint of from the finance, you know, all right, what do you have a budget? Are you budgeting? What services are you using? Are you using an app? Are you using your financial advisor? Are you looking for a financial advisor? Have you researched them, or you got them from a recommendation of someone else? What questions are you asking them? This is where we come in and help. Are you looking at different ways to expand and make money? Okay, obviously you need a marketer or a brand manager. How do you go about doing that? Before that, do you have an idea of what you want to do? What does that look like? Are you into e-commerce? Are you into affiliate marketing? Are you into all these different things? We kind of give them like a whole spectrum of different ways they can make money. So for example, a buddy of mine, he plays soccer. He's very into wine. He's like really into wine. So instead of just like being a wine connoisseur and wine collector, how can you monetize that? And what does that look like? So we'll help them in terms of developing concepts around what they can do, and then what they want to do with that. If they want to work with us, then we can put them in touch with someone that's more experienced in that space, or like a brand manager or a marketing manager or a business developer. Or if they want us to do that, we can do it as well. But that's kind of where we stand on the more one-on-one standpoint. But our main bread and butter is courses and curriculums around, you know, athletes and managing, making, and multiplying their money.
Beautiful, man. I feel like you've said that quite a bit of times. You have that, you have your pitch down. You
know? Oh, I'm trying. So hopefully people connect with this, you know, so yeah. So I've been just trying to work on that pitch, a lot of practice in the mirror and stuff like that. Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, no, thanks for jumping on, man. We'll flip scripts now, and I'll let you kind of go ahead and kind of push yourself toward me if you want.
No, yeah, perfect. So I appreciate that. So yeah, right off the bat, you know, love what you've done with your company. Like I said, offline, you know, I had the pleasure of connecting with you through one of my classes at ASU. But what was your journey like, you know, starting a business, you know, especially this type of business in this space?
You know, to start off, I'll just say a lot of grinding. it was very hard for me. I mean, I was in the corporate world for years. My dad was an NFL kicker for way before I was born. He didn't play too long, but it grew me up in the aspects of sports. And like I told you earlier, I played soccer growing up, same position as you, all the way from when I was like 3 till I graduated high school. And then college, I kind of got to the point where I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to kind of, you know, playing college at ASU, but then also focusing on what my passions were going to be off the field, I kind of moved to more towards the visual communication. So I focused on the graphic design side, which really is called visual communications. But I went through so many. ASU is a very great school because they focus a lot on the research and not so much just learning programs, because programs are kind of meant for you to learn yourselves. And so we focused 4 years on that. And I learned a lot of the research side. And just through my years in the corporate world, I kind of, you know, jumped around a lot. And I realized after working for the Phoenix Suns for a long time and working for a couple of athletes that while I was in the corporate world, I just slowly every year that fear came in and, you know, of, I want to go out myself, but I just don't know if it's stable. You know, I don't know if it's a good thing to do. And I just got to a point where I had a job that was requested for me from American Express to fly out to New York for a freelance gig and redo all their UX and their UI. And I turned it down because I was so fearful of, oh, that's only a 6-month gig, even though I'm going to be making twice as much money as my in that 6 months that I did here. What am I going to do after that 6 months? And 3 days later, I wrote them back. I'm like, I changed my mind. I want to take it. And they're like, oh, we already gave it to someone else. So, I mean, that would have been the dream for anyone, you know, working for a large company as a freelancer. They give you a hotel room in New York and kind of, you know, especially in my industry. And I've always been bummed about that. But what it did is it finally gave me my leap on, you know, I realized that I was jumping around a lot because I'd learn everything I had to learn about that corporate job within 3 weeks to a month, to the point where I was doing 5 times as much work as any of my coworkers were. And I didn't even feel like I was trying. And I had good bosses. I had bad bosses throughout the whole thing, but I just felt like I could do better myself, you know? And I jumped into it. What you would say is probably the normal thing a lot of people should do is I saved up doing this as a side gig for 1 to 3 years. And so I didn't have a lot in the bank. I mean, I had like 35 grand, which I built up over like 4 to 5 year period, which wasn't a lot for starting a business, but it was enough for me to say, all right, I could go a whole year right now and then just use this to pay myself. I don't get any business. And so I had a nice cushion under me that me and my wife were like, all right, let's do it. And so I waited, I was strategically waited to a certain part of my business in the corporate world to go out. And I, long story short, the first couple of years were not really niche that much, but because I already worked in the sports industry, I saw a huge niche for, and just a huge, not going to say unquality, but just a huge need for professional athletes needing a branding and marketing agency to focus solely on them. I mean, traditional sports marketing agencies have their place. You know, they're meant for, you know, contract negotiations, they're meant to help bring you sponsors. And that's a whole different kind of branding. Athletes don't understand how big branding is. And it's funny, earlier you said on the identity side, because I focus fully, not fully, but one of our main services up front is really focusing on, let's really create you a brand identity and strategy that's consistent, that has a good voice, that's around the target fan base you really want to focus on, that can help bring you, I mean, at the end of the day, we can say more customers, but at the end of the day, to build you a successful business that you can leverage your in-game appearance and your in-game passions and bring them off the field. So that's why I said sports is such a great vertical to work in, because it's everywhere. So we have professional athletes that want to open e-commerce stores. We have e-commerce, we have, you know, an MLB player right now that we're going through, and after a brand discovery, we realized that there isn't really a backpack out there that this MLB player is very big on outdoors. And
oh, sick.
Yeah, but he's not, and it's still in the final stages of development, but we went through the drop shipping options, and there wasn't enough money there for him to make, you know, off of all the efforts and things they were going to put in it. And the vertical they were in, through what we learned, is he's not looking to hit those major hikers. It was more aesthetics. It was more those people that, oh, maybe they want to go out on a hike, but it's just a hiking trail. But then they also want to go to the, you know, coffee shop with their backpack, and they don't want to have this huge bulky backpack with them the whole time, you know? So we're really trying to build him around his personality, a brand around his personality. So we're doing a product development. We're finishing up the product development right now of that backpack, and also designing some collateral around him. But so we really try to take it from the ground up, and we really try to grow this for the athletes and growing them something that they're passionate about. And so you have e-commerce, but then you have some athletes that are like, oh, I'm really passionate about opening a gym or opening a training facility. Or like you said earlier, some of them just want to invest in certain things. And so it's, you know, and that's not really our forte, but really helping athletes sometimes just understand, hey, what is your presence like on social media? But also, we're really big on, we don't come in as a fan to these athletes, because they're so bombarded with fans all the time that we really try to come in and tell them, hey, we're here to do your marketing, we're here to do your branding, and we know what's best in those regards, you know? So we're not going to sit here and hold your hand, but we're also not going to sit here and let you spend unnecessary money. We want you to get an ROI. So we always recommend, hey, let's talk to your financial team and see what they think about you opening a business in this market. And let's show them the direction that we're planning on going with building this thing to see if it would even work out, or working with investors as well, or telling them, hey, like, why are you just opening a facility and investing in a commercial real estate if you had a business around that facility as well and focused on local SEO or SEO and PPC and paid marketing? Let's really turn it into something that you're passionate about, and just let us be your team to focus on that. And so that's really what we're trying to do, and really help the traditional sports marketing agencies have a team that they can leverage for their athletes, because a lot of them do. They go out and nothing against freelancers. Freelancers have their point and their place in society, but a lot of these websites you see athletes have, and these brand identities, to me, they're just not really iconic. Or a lot of the athletes will be like, well, I haven't sold one shirt and it's been up for 2 years. And I'm like, well, it's because your traditional sports marketing agency doesn't focus on that. Yeah,
they're working on like the Sprite deals and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're working on the deals. Like, that's what they're there for. But just remember, like, we bring more value to your sponsors. I like to use Tom Brady as a great example. And because everyone knows him, I'm like, you look at TB12 and you search Tom Brady online, he's making 100,000, he's getting 100,000 visits from Google a month just because of his name alone. But TB12 is still ranked at number 3 on Google. I mean, number 3 in regards to pages, not number 3 in the search results. But, and so I look at it and I say, hey, he did a really good job at leveraging his social media and planning that out. But social media is only one aspect of digital marketing. We need to focus on all aspects. We need to do the paid side. We need to focus on the SEO side. We even need to focus on the blog content, like you brought up earlier, providing good quality content. Why should you demand your content and your life story being displayed on ESPN? You have the ability these days to have your audience view your life story on your own platform. You know, and so I don't know if I ran it there and went a little bit past your whole thing, but I'm really passionate about helping athletes, you know, kind of take it to that next stage, and helping them passionately create a business around something that they could do outside the game.
No, that's what it's all about. And I feel like, you know, you're someone that, you know, is focused on the future. You know, you talked about this next growth stage that you guys are having. Talk about it from the athlete perspective. What are some things that we should look out for moving forward as 2021? Obviously, last year kind of shifted things. It kind of expedited some things from a digital, technical, virtual standpoint, but it messed up a lot of things, you know, just from a physical standpoint. So what are some things that athletes can take advantage of, and some things that you're looking at to help athletes from their brand and marketing?
Well, I mean, a normal marketer would probably come out and just say TikTok, but I'm not going to say that. I think a lot of with the social media craze right now, especially, I think that a lot of athletes don't take a step back and they don't really figure out their fan base. They don't figure out who they're really trying to reach. And so they blindly just go on every single platform and they're just like, oh, I'm going to speak this here. Like I'll see people on athletes on LinkedIn posting certain things that they should be focusing on Instagram. So for me, it's less so, hey, just post everywhere all the time. And it's more so, hey, let's really sit down and figure out where your audience is. Let's figure out your fan base. And so what I would say is LinkedIn's always going to be a big thing for athletes. And I think that why LinkedIn is a big thing is because it kind of helps diminish that fan base of your fans reaching out just to say hi. It kind of helps that boundary of business. And so I think every athlete should be on LinkedIn at least when they start their career. But I also think they really need to focus on is which channel should they utilize? You don't need to burn yourself out and focus on every channel. For instance, if you're really into gaming, use Twitch. You know, if you're really focusing on wanting to do a podcast, you know, focus on building a podcast and then possibly recycle that on the YouTube and do something like that, you know? So really pick the channels, the 2 to 3 channels at most, I would say, that you think really align with your business, and then don't discontinue the other ones. I mean, a lot of athletes don't even consider Google search. They don't even consider having any sort of paid marketing or funnel that's going to help them deliver results for them. So really try to think at the big picture and pick 2 to 3 channels that work. I mean, if your audience is 13-year-olds, you know, a 15-year-old, yeah, go on TikTok. Yes, at the end of the day, if your main goal is to get sponsors and that's what your dream is, great. But I think the biggest tip is something that you probably tell athletes with their budgeting is diversify. Diversify your marketing efforts. And that's one thing that we really try to promote when we build our brand build processes is we say, well, which channels are really going to work for you? And let's pick the 2 to 3 that are going to fit within this retainer. And let's move forward with that.
No, I love that. And then one of my last questions is, what are the do's and don'ts, you know, from the athlete standpoint? You know, I'm sure you have a lot of case studies of athletes that have done it the right way, and then some athletes that they may not have listened, you know, some don'ts.
You know, and there's a fine line because it really does depend on your voice. But I would say always the don'ts. It's something that you brought up earlier. I honestly don't think that it's good to have your voice. It's good to talk about certain things. We'll just say going on with the country and going on with certain things for some right situation, stuff like that. If you want your voice to be heard that way and that's the direction you want to go, that's fine. But I would limit it to like a certain platform, like Twitter, for instance. But I always say try it because fans are so, we all know how society is. And I think that the hard part is you're always going to get judged no matter what. And so I think the hard part is just be really careful and safe with the kind of stuff that you're posting. Don't do anything hateful. Don't bash other people. Really just try to be unique and genuine in yourself and what you're trying to do. And if you need to add a little twist in there for something that you're trying to push forward with growing your business, then go with that. A couple really good examples is I think Ocho Cinco did a really good job a couple of years ago, how he really kind of pushed out his platform and really talked about himself and the things that he was doing. And that in itself really help take him to the next level with the sponsorship deals. You look at Tom Brady again in his example, and I have an analysis coming out, you know, in a couple of weeks on some of the good things that he did with his platform. But leveraging your platform for your business platform, and what I mean by that is your personal brand is great. If you look at Tom Brady's Instagram page, for instance, he really focuses on his personal brand a lot, but what he strategically did and what I try to tell athletes is a good idea is leverage those followers and then build your business page separately, but still have it be focused around you, and then leverage your existing followers and ask them, hey, if anyone's interested in learning more about this business, or go over to this page, or go over to this website, or go over to this. And so you can still bring value in your personal fan base, but you're allowing people to move to the business side that are interested in learning more about the business side.
No, I think that's a perfect way to close, because I personally have tried to model that, focus on the personal first. People will gravitate towards what you're doing personally, mm-hmm. and then it promote the different avenues that you're doing. So for me, sort of how I've been able to grow Frugal Athlete is, you know, talking about it more from my personal channel, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and then directing them to a Frugal Athlete. So giving them the choice, and using, you know, the built-in fan base that, and, you know, community that I've built. So obviously, you know, you talked about Tom Brady, someone that's doing a great job with TB12 and Religion of Sports and all the different ventures that he's done. But this applies to any athlete at every level. You know, we've seen Brandon Marshall do it now with I Am Athlete and House of Athlete. But I really think that that's a great way to close my questions. Use your personal brand to build out your businesses or passions and different things like that. So, you know, with the Frugal Athlete, trying to be like the points guy or the penny hoarder, those guys or those gals, they know the person first before the brand. So, yeah, that's a great way to close on my end. I don't have any more questions. That was perfect.
Yeah, we could probably talk about this all day. So yeah, thank you everyone for jumping on another episode of Frugal Athlete and the Brand Power Analysis. And,
I love it.
Where can people find you at?
Yeah, so you can find me at www.afrugalathlete.com, at A Frugal Athlete on all social platforms, or at Amobi Says, or www.amobiokugo.com. Yeah, so yeah, I'm everywhere, always willing to connect and collaborate and build. So thanks again. I'm glad we were able to do this. Much appreciated.
All right, well, thanks for being on.
No, most definitely.
And thank you for asking me questions.
Oh, most definitely. No, for sure.